of all that heaven is a place. As you look in your Bible, here in the 21st chapter, you'll find in verse number 2, the Bible talks about a holy city. You know where cities are? Cities are in places. I want to tell you, you can look on your map and it'll say Charlotte is here and Morgan is here and Valdez is here. There is a location. There is a geographical place for a city. I'll tell you, there's a place. I've never seen it. It's somewhere beyond the blue. But thank God, just as sure as you're sitting in the place you're in tonight, there is a place called heaven that God's going to get us in and take us to one of these days. I want you to look over in chapter 22 with me, talking about this place. He talked about a river over there. I want to tell you that river in verse number 1. Verse number 2, he talked about the street that is over there. You have to have a place if you're going to put a street. And then he talked about the tree of life. You got to have a place to put a tree of life. I just want to emphasize tonight, we live in a world. The devil would like to try to make you believe everything's make-believe. But I'm thankful tonight there is a real place somewhere beyond the blue called heaven. I want you to notice some things about this place. The Bible said, verse 2, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God. Well, let's back up to verse number 1. Verse number 1 said, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. I want to say that heaven tonight is a new place. A new place. Man, it'd be new to me and you. We've never been there. But I'll tell you, it is a special new place. Heaven tonight is eternally new. I want to tell you, it's not going to get old. I want to tell you, it'll be new all through eternity. But there's some interesting things about those words new. You'll find the word new twice in verse number 1. And they're different words. The first time when he says a new heaven, that new has the idea of quality and of a different nature. I want to tell you, the place that we're going is a place out of this world. The other week, last week, I was in a meeting, and one night, one of the members asked the whole church to come over to their house. And I thought, wasn't really a big church, but I thought, man, asking the whole church to come over to their house. And man, when I got over there, I understood why. I mean, they had a parking lot for a driveway. They had a mansion for a house. And my wife went upstairs. I didn't go, but she said she thinks there's about 10 bedrooms upstairs on the upper floor. But I want to tell you tonight, there is a place that wouldn't even be a drop in. Thank God there's a place of quality that is out of this world. That second word, new, where it says a new earth, that's a different word. And that has the idea there in respect of time. I want to tell you, when you live by the watch, we live by the calendar, we live by the year. But thank God there is a new heaven and a new earth coming. That time will matter no more. Amen. I want to say, there's so many new things that we don't know that God hadn't revealed. And if He did, we couldn't understand half of what He's already revealed to us. But heaven is a new place. Amen. Now, if God would help us get a hold of that. I mean, you know what? How it blesses you to have a new car or a new suit of clothes or to be able to move into a new house. I want to tell you, thank God, heaven is going to be a new place. The second thing I want you to see about this place is heaven is going to be a happy, 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 happy place. Now, sometimes people play down the word happy here on earth. Because happiness depends on happenings. You'll catch it in a little while. Down here we rejoice in joy. Because God has put joy down in our soul. Sometimes we're not happy because our happenings and our circumstances is not happy. There are some things that bring sadness and tears to our eyes. I got news for you over there. Thank God all the happenings will be good and glorious happenings over there. Look at verse number 4 with me. The Bible says, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Now, how many people tonight likes crying? How many of you husbands really like it when you say something wrong and your wife starts crying? How many of you really like it when the children start crying? I know there's all kinds of tears tonight. There's even tears of joy. But I'm here to say, thank God in heaven, there'll be no tears over there. Here's some reasons why. Because there'll be no separation in heaven's family. The Bible said there in verse 4 that there'll be no more death. Death is as certain as life on this side. Death is as real as birth on this side. But thank God, may the Lord help us somehow comprehend just a little bit of what it would be like to live in a world where there is no death. I want to tell you, a tomato plant won't die over there. A blade of grass won't die over there. I want to tell you, there's nothing that'll die over there in our heavenly home. Amen. You know, there's a lot of things about death down here that's sad. A lot of times the suffering that leads up to death is sad. And all these things. But the greatest suffering that people go through in this life because of death is the separation. You've heard people say that it's been hard up to the point of death. The dying experience was hard on the family that left behind. The funeral was hard, but the hard days are really the days on out there when it settles in and you understand because of the separation. I want to say thank God when his family gets home, there won't be any separation. Death's not the only thing that separates us, that causes sadness down here. Last night, one of my dearest friends, wife was here, Miss Jason Southard's wife. I went up there to Kentucky, Fort Campbell, when he was getting ready to be deployed over yonder in Afghanistan. I cannot begin to imagine the sorrow and the crying and the tears that has been cried by that family just simply because of the separation for a space of time. But thank God in heaven, there'll be no separation. I want to say it's going to be a happy place. Everybody in heaven is going to be happy. And you're not going to be happy just for a little while. I mean, you give your children happy things down here at Christmas time. Oh, they beam. You get your cameras and your camcorders out and you record that little moment of happiness. But the day ain't out. They're fussing and a-fighting and a-kicking and a-squalling. I want to tell you, thank God in heaven, it is a happy, happy, happy place. Not only is it a happy place because of no separation over there, but there's going to be no sadness. I guess I've already covered that in one way, but the Bible says this in verse number 4, neither shall be any more death, neither sorrow of any kind will be over there. I want to tell you, down here there are some things worse than a loved one dying. I mean, one can go out and sin,
There can be all kind of troubles, and it would have been much easier to have followed them to a grave than see them. I want to tell you, there's nothing like that over in heaven. No happiness. There's nothing that will cause unhappiness over there. Then there'll be no suffering over there. Now half of you ought to got up and shouted right there. Because you probably loaded up with ibuprofen or Tylenol or something just to come to the meeting tonight. You faced sinus headaches. You say that's just small. It might be when you have it, but it ain't when I got it. I want to tell you that. Arthritis, whatever it is. But I want to say thank God there'll be no suffering over there in heaven. Amen. He said, for the former things, here in verse number 4, are passed away. That is a simple way of saying all the wrongs that we suffer in this world will be eternally gone. Are you interested in going to a happy place? I'll tell you, sometimes down here we try to get people to go with us somewhere and say, come on, you'll enjoy it. Come on, you'll like it. Come on, it'll be a blessing to you. I promise you tonight, heaven is a place that everybody will like. I want to tell you something about heaven. I've been to some places I've went over again and again and again. There's some places I just had such a good time. When I got there, I wanted to go back again. You'll never go back, you'll just stay. Thank God, I'm glad heaven's a happy place. But not only is it a happy place and a new place, but I want to tell you, heaven is a holy place. That won't bless none of the carnality part of us. That'll bless the spiritual part of us that God birthed into us way down on the inside. I want to tell you one thing that's wrong with us is we cater too much to this old flesh as God's children and as the blood washed redeemed anyhow. Only thing we're interested in feeding ourselves is what'll make the flesh happy, the flesh feel good, and scratch the itch of the flesh. But if you want something that'll help you, you get something that'll make that's God's birth into you exciting. Heaven is going to be a holy place. Notice what the Bible said in verse number 2. The Bible said, I, John, saw the what? The holy city. He didn't say the great city. He didn't say the pretty city. He said, bless God, the holy city. Look over in verse 27 with me. The Bible said, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. Neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now we're probably among the best people we'll ever be among here on earth. I hope you found your crowd. You see, the Bible says one of the evidences of being saved is that you love the brethren. Over there in Acts chapter 9, toward the end of the chapter, after Paul got saved, you remember he come down there to Damascus to arrest the Christians and throw them into prison and stamp out Christianity if he could. But after he got saved, the Bible said he went to join himself to the apostles. Isn't it amazing when God saves you, one of the first things you'll do is hook up with a good Bible-believing church where the saints of God are. Amen. Pretty good evidence of that tonight, ain't it? On a hot June Saturday night, you could be somewhere supping on a milkshake or eating a cone of ice cream. But thank God tonight you come to the house of God together with God's children. But we're a pretty sorry bunch too. I said we're the best we'll ever find down here. But you don't go much churches, what you find? Envy, jealousy, squabbling, and bickering, heartache, heartbreak. But not over there. I don't tell you, there'll be no sin in any person. Think about it. Living in a place where there is not one black sheep in the whole family. Have you ever been somewhere? You can be anywhere. It may be a family gathering at Christmas time or birthday or any time. Families together and having a good time. And that one individual, that just turns the whole atmosphere and makes everybody on edge and like walking on eggshells, because you know they're about to explode at any time. And you have to be so careful, or you're having a church service and that one family comes in and it just kind of makes everybody hold back. Won't be like that over there. Matter of fact, some of us has probably been that individual. Some of us probably been that family. Don't tell you, everything will be straightened out over there. Not one sin in any individual. I want to tell you, when you get over there, there'll not be one thought. Sometimes, now I don't. I ain't gonna lie to you. You know it's lying if I tell you. I don't always keep this flesh under control. I'm talking about outwardly, my actions. But I keep it under control a whole lot better than I keep my thoughts under control. But over there, there'll not be one thought of jealousy, of envy, of strife, of lust, of anything. No thought whatsoever that'll defile that place. Holy. Holy. And the reason is what the angels are doing right now. Holy. Holy. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. It'll be holy because the children are birthed by a holy seed, from a holy word, and by a holy spirit, and we're taken to a holy place. Not be one attitude. I believe the Bible tells us probably the hardest thing to keep controls our words, our tongue. There'll not be one word. I'm just saying, thank God it'll be a holy place. Then I want to say that heaven is a place that's big enough for the whole family. Verse 16 says this, the city, that's just talking about the city of New Jerusalem. It said the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height is equal. I believe they tell me that that's about 1,500 miles this way, 1,500 miles this way, and 1,500 miles that way. I want to tell you, somebody has figured it up. I wasn't smart enough. I just wrote it down. They said that city is 496 zillion, 793 trillion, 88 billion cubic feet. And you say, preacher, what's that? Is that supposed to bless me? I want to tell you, I'm just saying it's bigger than you and bigger than me. Bigger than we can think. You imagine the best city you can imagine. You take the Word of God and see what He said about it. Ask God the Holy Spirit to sanctify your mind as you try to imagine it. And it's bigger than that and better than that. You see, that's the city. The Bible tells us a little bit about the citizens. I mean, it's going to be a crowded place. I understand tonight that the Bible says that broad is the way that leadeth destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. I want you to hear this verse. Revelation 7 and verse 9. It said, "And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindred and people and tongues, stood before the throne and the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hand." And that's just some out of the tribulation period. That don't take in the Old Testament era. That don't take in the day of grace and the church age. I'm just saying, thank God, there's going to be a bunch in the family of God. Now, what do you say about that, preacher? I say the size and the quality of anything says a whole lot about the owner. You be honest. You drive by and somebody's got the most pretty, slickest car, truck, whatever you're interested in you've ever seen. You say, I wonder who owns that thing. You see a pretty piece of land or a mansion sitting somewhere on the hillside and you say, wonder who's got enough money to buy that. I want to tell you, our Lord, our God, our Father owns it all. And the size and the quality of that place says a lot about Him. What a God, what a God, what a God. I want to tell you, heaven is a real, real place. I want to say heaven is about a real person. That person is the Lord Himself. The Bible said in verse 3, "And I beheld a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them." Somebody read out in the prayer ground a while ago, said it's not about us. It's all about Him. I want to tell you, I'm glad I'm getting to go. And I trust you're getting to go. But it ain't about me and it ain't about you. It's about Him. Let me give you some things quickly about Him. The joy of heaven is going to be the presence of our Lord. The last night when I preached on the God was with him, Hezekiah, some of us don't really appreciate the presence of God with us now. I mean, we don't really appreciate it when we pray and we can feel the touch of God. When we read the Bible and God just kind of opens up something, or when we are doing the work of God and the presence of God manifests Himself in such way. But I promise you, the joy of heaven, every bit of it, is going to be about the presence of Jesus. I mean, thank God for the street of gold. Thank God for the walls of jasper and all the 12 stones. Thank God for the gates of pearl. But every bit of the joy is going to be about Jesus. I read somewhere where a preacher asked, he said, if everything was in heaven that the Bible says is going to be up there, from the atmosphere to the beauty and the building, everything would be there except Jesus, would you still want to go? And the writer said, I believe sadly that most would say yes. I want to go. Because we're more about the things than we are the person. We're more about getting our hurts eased and our bodies comforted than we are worshiping the Lord Jesus. But the joy of heaven is going to be God. I want to say that the light of heaven is going to be Jesus, the Lamb of God. Verse number 23 says, and the city hath no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Let me just say this, don't have time to stay here, just say this and move on. I don't believe there'll be a shadow in heaven. The lights are on here, but there's shadows under the pews. There's shadows everywhere. There'll be no shadow in heaven, because it'll be the perfect light over there. Then I want to say the melody of heaven is going to be the name of Jesus. It's not going to be so-and-so's preaching, so-and-so's singing, so-and-so's testifying, or we're going to this church or that church, but it'll all be Jesus, 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 the sweetest name I know. Ring through the corridors of heaven. I want to say the harmony of heaven is going to be the praise of Jesus. There'll not be different ideas and different factions over there, but we'll all be in unison, in perfect unity, praising and blessing the name of the Lamb of God forever and ever and ever. Have you ever been in a place where God really manifests Himself? And where God just give you a little foretaste of heaven? Man, I mean, you've gotten services where God just come down. You didn't want to leave, did you? You've gotten meetings where God just put Himself, His hand on that meeting in a unique and a special and an unusual way. You almost cried when you saw it end. That's just a little of what that's going to be, and it'll never end over there. I want to say that the theme of heaven is going to be the work of Jesus. You get tired of hearing people sing about the cross and the resurrection. You get tired of hearing people preach, say, oh, it's just the same old thing, we've heard that. You get tired of reading John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I want to tell you, the theme of heaven is going to be what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. Listen to this. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, and they sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. That's the theme of heaven. The employment of heaven is going to be serving our Lord. Chapter 22 and verse 3 says this, And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it. Listen to this last phrase. And His servants shall serve Him. Now, preachers, listen. You remember? I mean, they sometimes when you preach and you just pull the plow. But they's every once in a while, God just lets you preach in the Holy Ghost. Singers, sometimes you sing and it's a song unto the Lord. But sometimes He lets you sing in the Holy Ghost. A lot of times we go to pray like the Lord has commanded us to pray without ceasing. Sometimes we feel Him and sometimes we don't. Sometimes we know He hears us and sometimes we question. But there's times that you pray in the Holy Ghost. There's times that you serve whatever you do. And it's just like God gives you that divine touch. And you enjoy doing it. I don't ever want to quit preaching the Holy Ghost. You just get so weak you can't. But that is just a little of how we'll serve Him eternally over there. Woo! Glory to God! Hallelujah! and His saints will serve Him.
Amen.
Thank God over there.
Yeah.
Some people say, well, is all you going to do sing over that? I mean, is that all you got? I want to tell you, honey child, what you do in heaven will be so rich and so sweet. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. I want to tell you, if you think you like to serve Him down here, you just hang on. Hallelujah. The fullness of the satisfaction of heaven is Jesus. Listen to this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. For the Lord Himself. Now, He's not going to send an angel. He's not going to send I don't know what you call them, but anyway, some people to pick you up. Not even old St. Peter. The Bible said the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Listen to this. To meet who? Grandma? Oh, listen. There's places in the Bible that it encourages us about our dead loved ones. I'm not downplaying that. I'm not downplaying that. Not downplaying that. But that's not going to be the satisfaction of heaven. To see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses, oh, what a wonderful thing that might be. But it says to meet the Lord. To meet the Lord. You see, grandma and mama and daddy and child and everything else will be right there beside of you. But they're going to be wanting to meet the Lord just like you're going to be wanting to meet the Lord. And listen to this. It says to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be where? With the Lord. Let me say one more thing and I'll be done. Heaven is a place. Heaven is about a person. But I want to say heaven is also about a position. Now, there'll not be any squabbling over positions. It'll not be like the disciples when they argued over who would be greatest in the kingdom of God. But back there in verse 3 again, the Bible said, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. Now listen to this. Here's your position. If you want to call it a relationship, call it a relationship. And they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. I thought of what Ken did there a while ago when I had this verse on my heart. When He did that about praising Him, we're going to be His people. The best way I can make a feeble illustration is, a lot of times the grandchildren come in the house. As soon as they get in the door, they'll run and they'll say, Papa or Mama or whoever it might be, have their arms stretched out like that. But I want to tell you, He is going to be our God, and we're going to praise Him for it, and we're going to be His people, and He's rejoicing in that. Amen. What a position to be in the family of God. I want to say this about that. It's based on a position of grace. We're there because of His grace. Not worthy. None of us are worthy to go, but thank God we're going because God gave us His amazing, amazing grace. I want to tell you what it is. It's also a position of glory. Because He has made us to be kings and priests in Him. Hear what the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter number 8. Now we know that He's a glorious God. And we know that all glory comes to Him. But He said this, the sufferings that we suffer down here are not worthy to be compared, listen to this, not with the glory that's in Him or the glory that's there. But He said, not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be in us. It's a position of glory because He's a glorious God and He's made us glorious children and heirs and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. I want to say it's also a position tonight of blessing because it's a holy relationship. The relationship is pure in love, pure in motive. We're there because God loved us and His motive was to redeem us out of sin and make us His children. And it's going to be a relationship, listen to this now, that's never, never broken. A lot of times, a man and a woman will come to a marriage altar. And the preacher will say, you take her to be your lawful wedded wife in sickness and in health, and rich or poor, until death do you part. Say, I do. Say the same thing to the wife about the husband. She said, I do. And it's a relationship that I guess in their heart, I hope at least, I don't know, I don't think some of them do. They ought to go and mean it with all their heart. But some of them break that relationship. But I want to tell you, in heaven, our relationship with our Lord will never be broken. He'll never cast us off. We'll never cast Him off. He won't kick us out, separate, or divorce. Thank God. But I like this. It'll never be strained. Sometimes me and my wife have had some strained moments. Can you identify with that? I mean, there's some times you go in the house and you're still living in the same house, you're still wearing your wedding bands, but it's just a little quiet. You know? Ever been there? I bless. Don't sit there and die like that. Sometimes, me and my children. I mean, I love them. I'd die for my children. But sometimes, because of their actions or my actions, it just gets a little tense. Hadn't been too long ago that I said something to one of mine that I felt like I needed to say, still feel like I needed to say it as the dad, and it got just a little tense, strange. I want to tell you, there'll never be a strained moment over there. There'll never be a moment that you get together and you kind of got to hang your head or turn your back or hold your peace. Thank God, it'll be wonderful, wonderful, wonderful over there. And then this, the relationship, when we get to heaven, will never be stained. My mother, I bless the Lord for my mother, godly mother, a good mother. But you know what? I have stained her good name as a teenager by my actions. Some of my children have stained our family. Don't look at me like that. Yours has too. But not over there. There'll not be one stain. Not be one blot. He tells us there's going to be something called the judgment seat of Christ. And every spot and every wrinkle will be, there's plenty of spots right now in the family of God. I'm looking at them and you're looking at them. There's plenty of wrinkles. He's going to fix it. Amen. And after that, there'll never be another stain put on the family of God. Don't it break your heart? It ought to. Some of you like it because you can gossip. Break your heart when a preacher or another Christian falls, stains the church. The Lord said through Nathan, David, you've given the enemy occasion to blaspheme. But not so in our heavenly home. I just had heaven on my mind today. I'm a going there. Matter of fact, I've found myself preaching about that subject a little more often in these last while. Somehow we've left, I think, some of the real cardinal truths and doctrines that have kept the church steady down through the years. Heaven is one of them. Oh, we used to hear about those old preachers preaching heaven sweet and hell hot. Ain't much of that anymore. God help us. God help us. Make people want to go to heaven and shun hell. I wonder as they come, get an invitational hymn. I am going to read that 8th verse in closing. The Bible says that not everybody is going to heaven. He gives us a list here in verse number 8, that the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Could be somebody here tonight that fits in that category. Could be somebody lost, something never been saved. I want to tell you, this Saturday night would be a good time. Come to God. Let Him wash you clean in His blood and redeem you and make you a new creature in Christ. But I want to say this to the Christian. I want to say that you may be having gone through a hard battle. You may be contemplating quitting or letting up or backed up, or maybe you already have. You just wonder if it really worth it to press on. Heaven will surely be worth it all. In my first pastorate, I'd only been pastoring about 3 months. I'm not going into details, I'll make the story short. But I had a situation happen at church on Sunday morning. It always happens on Sunday morning. About 5 minutes till 11. Scared me, broke my heart, done everything else. I was going to have to deal with it in that service. We did. And God came out victorious. But I was there, weak, green behind, wet behind the ears, green. Couldn't do anything. And the first time I shouted after I started pastoring was that Sunday. The choir got up and started singing. I wondered how I was going to face that service. And the choir got up and said, it's a dead Baptist church. And they got up and started singing, heaven will surely be worth it all. I don't know what you're going through tonight. I don't know what you're facing. I promise you